Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now from London is economist Stephanie Griffiths-Jones, who is currently the Financial Markets Program Director at the Initiative for Policy Dialogue at Columbia University. She is the author, along with Jose Antonio Campo and Joseph Stiglitz, of Time for a Visible Hand, Lessons from the 2008 World Financial Crisis. Welcome to Background Briefing, Stephanie Griffiths-Jones.
It is always a pleasure to be there.
And the Barclays just paid a monumental settlement, as did the Royal Bank of Scotland, because of manipulation of the LIBOR rate in London. That's the London Interbank Offered Rate. Now, just to give you an idea of the money, Barclays agreed to pay $450 million, $200 million of which to the U.S. Commodities Futures Trading Commission, $160 million to the Criminal Division of the United States Department of Justice, and $93 million to Britain's Financial Services Authority. But my understanding is that they beat UBS to the punch in terms of settling, and this is just the tip of an iceberg.
I think that this has been a very bad week for banks. They've had at least three major problems just in the UK. They first, banks like Royal Bank of Scotland couldn't even get money from one account to another, which delayed payments to lots of households and small and medium enterprises because of some computer problem they had. Then they had a mis-selling of derivatives to small and medium enterprises, which they forced these companies to buy, and when they didn't work out, made major losses, and some of these small companies went bankrupt as a result. And finally, what you're referring to, Barclays and other banks have been fiddling the way they fix one of the key international interest rates, which is the LIBOR. And so this has been really quite an appalling week, which shows again how deeply flawed the financial system is in the UK, but more widely in Europe and in the United States, and how much it desperately needs fixing.
And the Royal Bank of Scotland is about to be fined $233 million. It's also 82% owned by the British taxpayer. What's extraordinary here is that the people who manipulated the LIBOR rate, the traders, in complicity with the banks, they still get their bonuses. But then the taxpayer, the British taxpayer, which is largely the government, ends up having to pay the bill.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's true that when this manipulation was done, this was before Royal Bank of Scotland was effectively taken over by the government. But it still creates a lot of problems for the real economy. It doesn't, for example, lend properly. It hasn't increased lending to small and medium companies. In fact, lending to the private sector by banks like the Royal Bank of Scotland has systematically fallen. So there's a big paradox because we taxpayers have bailed these people out. We own the bank, particularly in the case of Royal Bank of Scotland, to a lesser degree in the case of Lloyds Bank, and yet we have no authority over how it's run. And as you say, they still keep paying massive bonuses and massive salaries into the top executives. So I think the outrage amongst the average citizens and even amongst fairly conservative establishment figures like the governor of the Bank of England is really growing because they're both incompetent and greedy. And I think it's this particular mixture that is completely unacceptable to the public. That's why the Labour leader, Ed Miliband, has, I think, rightly called for an overall inquiry, a judicial inquiry, into the financial sector, into the banking sector. But unfortunately, the government does not want to do that and is limiting it more narrowly to just a parliamentary inquiry. But I think it's very important that a major inquiry should be done, like was done in the 30s in the United States with the PECORA Commission, which I think facilitated really good regulation like you had with the Glass-Steagall Act. We really need to reshape the financial sector. It's very interesting, the International Monetary Fund, no radical or liberal institution, has just come out with a very interesting paper arguing that the smaller financial sector may actually be better. So we need smaller, less speculation, more transparent, more accountable, and better run financial sector.
What's at stake here in terms of this manipulation of the LIBOR rate is that essentially the traders, in complicity with the banks, have been robbing the public to create bonuses for bankers by artificially lowering interest rates. The banks cause cities, towns, counties, and other public entities to receive smaller returns on their variable rate investment holdings. That's what's going on here, right?
Exactly. And they sacrifice normal average citizens' earnings for getting exorbitant benefits for the bank and, as you say, massive bonuses for themselves.
So,
and they explicitly say this, you know, they pay themselves with bottles of champagne. I mean, it is just so gross. It's like a caricature of bad banking and trading practices, which has emerged.
So this muni bond bid rigging came out in a trial in Manhattan, the Corallo bid rigging case, which has been in a Manhattan courtroom. And obviously the fines have just come down. But there's clearly got to be a Wall Street connection here. I mean, so much of what has gone on in Wall Street going back to 2008, more recently with J.P. Morgan Chase losing initially $2 billion and now it's up to about $9 billion in bad trades, were all done through London affiliates. So just my antenna goes up here, Stephanie Griffith-Jones, to assume that there's also a Wall Street dimension to this story.
You're quite right. I mean, in this, it wasn't just British banks involved. It's 16 international banks that fixed LIBOR. And so I'm sure that American banks are involved. And as you say, the problems that J.P. Morgan had, which are leading to these massive losses based on speculation in derivatives, was actually done through their London offices. So not only do we need good regulation in the United States, in the United Kingdom, but we also need good global regulation because we need to cover all the grounds. Because if not, the bankers would just game the system, would just exercise regulatory arbitrage and go for the country or the financial center where regulation is weakest. And we must just stop all this because it is unacceptable. These banks are so powerful. We have to remember that in the United States, 40% of corporate profits are made in the financial sector. I mean, this is unacceptable. It's a sector that doesn't actually produce anything except headaches for all the rest of us, and they grab 40% of the profits. So there are these linkages, as you say, and these linkages reinforce the high bonuses and the high salaries which they pay themselves.
But it's absolutely incomprehensible, Stephanie Griffith-Jones, that and it's not surprising, but it's incomprehensible that the Conservative government in the United Kingdom would say that we really can't do anything about this and they don't feel there's a need for an inquiry because they're not even sure that what's happened against the law. This is the ultimate definition of insider trading, where traders can call up these bankers and basically order them to lower and manipulate the interest rates on derivatives. I mean, some of this stuff was in the court case came from intercepts, you know, from phone taps. And you can read the conversations, you know, trader, can you please continue to go in for 3 million LIBOR at 5.365 or lower? We are very long cash here in New York. The LIBOR rate submitter, how long? Trader, until the effective date goes over a year end, and if possible. Submitter, will do my best, sir. I mean,
it is absolutely
that's not against the law to screw all of those municipal bond holders, which are, of course, all of these towns and cities and pension funds, etc., around the country. It's unbelievable.
I mean, it's not the first time that it happened in the subprime crisis when they produce all this toxic paper, which is rated AAA. A lot of counties also in the United States, regional authorities in the United Kingdom, had invested the money and lost everything. So it is just, there's also an issue, as you say, of protecting consumers. I think the problem is that in the United Kingdom, it's in some ways worse than the United States because the powers to pursue these cases in the courts is apparently much less. What I don't understand is that if they don't have a law, why don't they pass a law to prosecute these cases? Because they say that LIBOR is outside the ability of the regulatory authorities or the courts to prosecute. You say, well, then you have to change the laws. I mean, there's this sense of paralysis that you cannot do what is necessary because people are just paralyzed by the power these institutions have. But they, in fact, only have power because we allow them to have it. So it's about time we pull down the rug under their base. You know, I could understand that the bankers were powerful when they were successful. The problem is that now, when they are doing so much damage to the economy, they're still powerful. And that is an incredible paradox. And that really requires, good investigative journalism like your own and a lot of pressure from citizens to change this.
Well, Stephanie Griffith-Jones, just to give you an idea of how the corruption is shared across this side of the Atlantic, during the financial crisis, when Secretary of Treasury Paulson was down on his knees begging Nancy Pelosi for the TARP money, the minority chair who was in on these private high-level meetings, Spencer Baucus, a Republican from Alabama, he was trading off insider information that he got. Then 60 Minutes broke the story about Spencer Baucus and these other congressmen being able to trade off inside information, and they eventually were shamed into passing the Stock Act, which stopped that. But in the meantime, the city of Birmingham, Alabama, that Spencer Baucus represents, that's his district, has gone into bankruptcy because of bad deals that it made with Wall Street. And Spencer Baucus, exactly, believe it or not, got reelected. So go figure.
I know. So the banker gets the bonuses, the politician gets re-elected, and I'm sure lots of people lost their jobs because the local authority went bankrupt, and lots of important social services would have been lost. So this is completely unacceptable. I remember hearing, I don't know if it's true, that when the Dodd-Frank bill was being passed, which is overall a very good bill, that some congressmen were passing amendments, and that they came because they hadn't bothered to retype them. They came on paper from the major American banks. So it was that crude. They didn't even bother to change the paper on which these amendments were written by the banks themselves to try and water down good regulation. So I think there has to be a major change in the way the system is regulated. It's also not acceptable. How come that the FSA and others only discovered this 3 years after it finished? I mean, it's been going on from 2005 to 2009, and they're only now discovering. I mean, that is just amazing to me. Where were these regulators? Were they asleep at the wheel? Or, you know, what were they doing?
Particularly after the 2008 crash, you'd think that there'd be a little more attention paid. It does feel, though, that there's, in a broader context, Stephanie Griffith-Jones, has been an attack, as we know here in the United States, a political attack by the Republicans on public employees, starting with the governor of Wisconsin. They're trying to break the public employees' unions as a way to defund the Democratic Party. And this seems to be an adjunct to it by going after the municipalities themselves and bankrupting them or looting them, as apparently these Wall Street traders see this as just, you know, stealing candy from a blind man.
Well, this is similar to what's happening, of course, in Europe, where governments are being forced by the financial markets to impose austerity. And luckily, this has begun to change because with the triumph of Hollande, there is a change towards some greater emphasis on growth, because you cannot just keep firing workers, reducing social services, cutting back on hospital staff and education establishments, just so that you can make sure that the economy is run in such a way that the bankers can continue profiting. And so, therefore, I think even the Conservative government in the UK is talking about the need to restructure the economy. They haven't done too much about it. But, if countries like the United Kingdom and the United States want to compete in the world economy, and this is difficult because it will be challenged by very efficient countries that are emerging, like India, China, Brazil, they need a functional financial system. Not one that is corrupt, that is focused on short-term profits, but one that helps them produce you know, good products. And if the private sector can't do it, a lot of people in Europe are beginning to talk that the public banks run in the public interest should play a bigger role, because if the bankers are not willing to accept the kind of regulation that would make the banks work effectively and in an honest way, then maybe we have to think about other options. And you know, maybe Royal Bank of Scotland should stay in public hands, but be run for the public interest, which it isn't at the moment.
Well, Stephanie Griffith-Jones, I thank you so much for joining us here from London.
Real pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Stephanie Griffith-Jones, who is the Financial Markets Program Director at the Initiative for Policy Dialogue at Columbia University. She, along with Jose Antonio Campo and Joseph Stiglitz, co-edited Time for a Visible Hand, Lessons from the 2008 Financial Crisis. We're going to take a brief station break, and we will be back in a moment and go to Mexico City.
After all these implements and texts designed by intellects of X to find, evidently there's still so much that hides. And though the saints of us divine in ancient feeding lines, their sentiment is just as hard to pluck from the vine.